what makes you want to shout? Like really shout. Anything? This is a call and response. You can say things. Like I went to Six Flags 20 years ago or 15 years ago, and I got on that daredevil dive, the one where they pull you back in a harness and then just let you go. And it's kind of like bungee jumping, and that made me want to shout. And I did shout, and I shouted, I think, words that you don't normally hear from a pastor in the pulpit, a lot of them, and very loudly. So what makes you want to shout? The Chicago Blackhawks, okay. Yes, any Chicago sports team when they're winning or when they're not winning. How many of you are shouters at the TV during games? How many of you are pretty much sit there and watch the game and know that you can't affect the outcome by your words? Yeah. Okay. What else makes you want to shout? Okay, sports events. Bungee things. That was mine.
4th of July.
4th of July. Yes, and that's a lot of times that's, ooh, ah, ow, right? Yes. What else? Concerts. Yes. Any particular concert? Like a favorite band? Wasn't Aretha at Ravinia last night? Yes. Leanne, you were there, right?
Steve Miller.
Wasn't Aretha. That was on Friday. Then you saw anybody go see Aretha on Friday? Steve Miller yesterday? Steve Miller was, okay, what was last night?
Aretha.
When did you go? Friday? Oh, was it good? Did you shout? Okay, would you shout for Aretha? Did you hear what happened with Aretha just recently? She was in Chicago last week, and her bus broke down on the way in, and they couldn't get anyone to come and take all the people from the bus and the equipment, and so the police came and escorted them to their hotel. So it's I-290, the Eisenhower, which is now known as the freeway of love. Yes, you like that. That makes you want to shout. Okay. What else makes you want to shout? Church? Come on. We had some whoop whoop today. All right. What makes you so angry you feel overwhelmed or overheated at least? What makes you really angry?
Politics in general.
Okay. Injustice. Bad drivers. What did you say, Janine? Inefficiency. Bad drivers. Politics in general. Gail, what did you say? Injustice. That was it. Okay. Church? Anyone? There. That can happen too. What makes you want to sing? Yeah, okay. A beautiful day. Hearing someone else singing, music played well. Sometimes music played not well makes you want to sing too.
Grief.
Oh yeah. Grief. What really gets under your skin? Maybe not in the Frank Sinatra way, but you know, like ugh. I guess it's sort of what makes you feel so angry, but just ugh. You don't want to say those. We've all got those pet peeves, right? Or what makes you feel like jumping up and down? I see people jump up and down. Like, I don't know. Come on, what makes you want to jump?
Music.
Music? Okay, we jumped up and down right here a little bit. Good news. Yes, good news. And I see people hear good news and jump up and down. Usually it's the Publisher's Clearinghouse giveaway at their door. I think that's all fake, but maybe it's not. What makes you want to laugh out loud? Good joke? Anyone? Good joke? Anyone have the best joke ever? Some of my antics up here make you want to laugh out loud? Thank you. I think, or no? Joy? Yes.
When Gail gets a joke before I
do. That makes you laugh out loud.
It certainly does.
And when you do any of these things, laugh, jump, get irritated, shout, who does it irritate the snot out of? You have people in your life that when you do those things, other people get irritated? I make up songs about nothing or sometimes parody songs and all stuff like that. I've just about perfected one based on a song from catching fire. You know that the hanging tree that Jennifer Lawrence sings? Instead of, that one starts, are you, this one starts, R2, D2. It's all about Star Wars. It's not quite done, but it's getting close. And maybe that irritates people when I write silly songs like that. I don't know. In today's Bible reading, David was dancing with all of his might. And Michelle, one of his wives, was exceedingly irritated about it. How many times have you really wanted to give someone a piece of your mind? That makes you laugh. Look at laugh out loud. And what do you do when the person who makes your skin crawl is respected and loved by everyone? I think that makes it even worse. Everyone loves this person, and oh, they just, oh man. Let's go a little deeper into the reading this morning. So Michelle had had enough with her husband, David. Again. She had loved him like no one else ever had, and she knew that. And she knew that, at least for a time, David had loved her. She risked her life to save his. She was torn from him and forced to marry someone else. And he didn't come for her. And then after a long time, they finally got back together. But it wasn't the same. She didn't think that David was at all sad when she was in the arms of somebody else. And, of course, he wasted no time in marrying a bunch of others and having children with them. That's what David did. But now they were back together. But instead of celebrating with her, looking at her and saying, "I missed you so much," he was out dancing nearly naked with everybody. She'd had enough. Who does he think he is? She thought. I hate him. I hate him so much. Whew. Today's reading skips something. Anybody was following along in the Bible and noticed that we went from verse 6 right down to verse 12, or verse 5 right down to verse 12? Anybody read the stuff in between there? You read the stuff in between there, yeah. Long time ago, so you remember. It's really nasty stuff. Listen to this part. This is from verse 6 up through the beginning of 12. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for it had been shaken. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God struck him there because he reached out his hand to the ark, and he died there beside the ark of God. David was angry because the Lord had burst forth with an outburst upon Uzzah, so that the place was called Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day. He said, "How can the ark of the Lord come into my care?" So David was unwilling to take the ark of the Lord into his care in the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all of his household. It was told King David, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God." So that happens, and Uzzah reached out to the ark, touched it, and he died. Just like that. At least that's how this story goes, and it's messed up. And some people, preachers especially, try to explain this story away. They say, "Oh, don't mess around with God. It's like trying to fight a thunderstorm." Or, "See, you have to respect God, or you might get it." I don't know why I say that with a southern accent. It just seems like that's what it would be said with a southern accent. It's awful. Or how about this? This passage ultimately shows how much awe the people of David's time had with respect to God's power. We need to rediscover that. Maybe, but this is a story that we skip in the lectionary, that all the people that put together the readings for Sunday morning that we often follow say, no, we don't want that part in there because someone touched the ark and they died. I think it's just messed up, and David thought it was messed up. He called the place Perez Uzzah, the place where Uzzah was attacked. Or something close to that. You know, God isn't that cosmic sheriff waiting for us to screw up so that he can get us. And this reading is it's a great example of something in the Bible that goes against that overall Bible narrative where God creates and we mess up and then God saves, or God creates and then we mess up again. This time, God creates, person touches the ark, God kills. It just doesn't fit with the overall narrative of the Bible. It's there, but it's messed up. And I wonder, I mean, I don't know how it all happened, but I can imagine that this big ark that some traditions say it levitated, well, you know, people had to carry it in and it was heavy, and it started to jostle, and I don't know, probably fell on him and killed him. That would be bad, and then the story changed a little bit. I don't know, but that would make a lot more sense. I don't like that part of the story, but I wanted to share it with you because it's there, and we have to struggle with stuff that's in the Bible when we don't like it. We can't just throw it out. But here's an aside within an aside. Obed-Edom the Gittite. He was a Gittite. Do you know who else is a Gittite in the Bible? David met him once for a short period of time, and he was really tall. Yeah, Goliath. Goliath was a Gittite. I don't know if that fits anywhere or if it changes the story. Obed-Edom comes out looking really good in this. He took care of things. Well, now back to the anger, Michelle's anger. So her emotions were, you know, what are you doing? They're similar to, you know, the emotions that many of us have. Her anger and disdain for someone who dances around as if they were all that and a bag of chips is probably similar to feelings that any of us have had in situations where we feel exploited or manipulated by others. How can they do that when they know that they need to be doing this? So here's a question, and I'm not going to answer it. Taking God's unconditional love for all as a given, that's part of who we are, and that's one of the base things for our faith. So taking God's unconditional unconditional love, how do you think it's possible to be reconciled to the ones we wish would simply just go away and leave us alone? Because all of us have those people in our lives that we wish would just go away. And God's unconditional love says that we are to be reconciled to all the people and we can all get along. And there are people that we don't get along with. Maybe sometimes some relationships with people are just not right for us now and we don't have to be around them. We don't have to be angry and have outbursts, but I don't know about how to be reconciled to every person in our lives that we wish sometimes just weren't there. And owning God's unconditional love and always possible reconciliation, we want to hold on to that with any of God's children. How do we celebrate that? Now, how do we celebrate that knowing full well that we don't always live up to it and it's not always going to happen, but that it's still possible? And relationships that are broken can be reconciled, and they may not look the same way, but things can happen where things get better. So how do we celebrate with God's unconditional love and knowledge that reconciliation is always possible? Well, sometimes we can do it with silence and reflection. That is a great way to celebrate. Meditation, prayer, centering. Sometimes we can celebrate with a warm smile or a hug. Sometimes we can celebrate with singing and clapping. Sometimes we can celebrate with laughter and high fives. And sometimes we can celebrate with dancing. David celebrated with dancing. And not just a little two-step or a dainty waltz, although those are nice, but really cutting loose and dancing with all our might. Dancing so that the next morning you're sore because of all the headbanging that you were doing. Dancing that some people will look at and get uncomfortable and angry. That's the kind of dancing that David was doing. That's celebrating. That's celebrating hard. And that's the scene that Michelle despised. But folks, we need to celebrate. We need to celebrate who we are and what we're about and be unafraid about it. As St. Paul's United Church of Christ, as the church, as humans, we need to be able to celebrate an awful lot of goodness. Remember this. Remember this statement that we have made and we continue to live and that I read last week and we should probably read every week. Together we share the joy of discipleship and service to God with all who desire to join in the life of our church. God created each one of us as recipients of God's grace and love, unearned and freely given. We are called to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. We celebrate every person as a child of God created in God's image. We welcome people of every age, economic status, ethnic origin, gender, gender identity, marital status, mental and physical ability, political affiliation, and sexual orientation. That's us, unashamed, boldly living out Christ's love, unafraid, boldly living out God's radical hospitality and extravagant welcome, unapologetic, boldly sharing a story of God's freedom, acceptance, welcome, inclusion, mercy, community, compassion, celebration, and love, and sharing it all with joy. Amen.